This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There will be general coffee hour following chapel in the cafeteria for all students this morning. The play, The Sign of Jonah, will be presented tonight at Wake Forest Baptist Church, 7:15. This program this morning is presented by the Extension Committee of the Coordinating Council. We hope in part to explain some of the theological presuppositions of the work and some of the work we ourselves are doing. Reading from Matthew 25, beginning with the 31st verse. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit in state on his throne, with all nations gathered before him. He will separate men into two groups, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. And he will place the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "You have my father's blessing. Come and enter and possess the kingdom that has been made ready for you since the world was made. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me into your home. When naked, you clothed me. When I was ill, you came to my help. When in prison, you visited me." Then the righteous will reply, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? A stranger and took you home, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you ill or in prison and come to visit?" And the king will answer, "I tell you this, anything you did for one of my brothers here, however humble, you did it for me." May we all pray together. O Lord of all grace and glory, unto thee we bow this day in humble gratitude for all thy mercies given us. Of all thy good gifts unto us, we are the most grateful for thy loving word, Jesus Christ. Our Father, may thy grace unto us make our burdens lighter. And in taking our problems and worries unto thee, may we remember that thou dost care for us. Deliver us, our Father, from the prison houses of our own making. And may sorrow, loneliness, and grief flee from us as the darkness vanishes before the rising sun. Our Father, save us from our sinful selves, and may we find ourselves in meaningful service unto thee. Let us not forget that in serving one of the least of thy children, in reality we are serving thee. All of these petitions we leave at thy feet this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, we pray. Amen.
The extension program of Sunday school classes for the mentally retarded at Butner is in its second year of operation. This program was worked out jointly last year by Mr. Milton Snyder, chaplain at the Murdoch School, Don Daltrey, who is then extension chairman for the Student Coordinating Council, and the Fieldwork Office. It continues this year with Jerry Stewart as Extension Chairman. A volunteer group of about 20 seminary students goes to Butner two Sundays out of each month to teach 10 classes of about 10 pupils each. At the beginning of both years, an all-day seminar was held to acquaint students with the program at Butner and with the work among the mentally retarded. The Murdoch School is one of six establishments at Butner, which is about 25 miles from here. These state-operated centers include a mental hospital, a center for alcoholics, a training school for the blind, a center for teenage offenders of the law, and a new project for helping emotionally disturbed children, as well as the Murdoch School for Mentally Retarded. The Murdoch School itself has over 1,200 residents between the ages of 7 and about 75. The mentally retarded are generally considered to be those persons whose IQ measurement is below 70. They constitute almost 3% of the population of this country, and there is a growing awareness of the need to make provision for their care. They are unable to compete with others of their age and become frustrated in their relationships with them. Within the group at Butner, some are badly deformed physically and are completely powerless to take care of themselves. Others are near normal or perfectly normal, in some instances, physically and surprisingly capable in mental ability. Our Sunday school classes are for the group with an intelligence level between 50 and 70. Most of these cannot advance past the fourth grade level in regular schoolwork, but some of them are quite good in such skills as drawing, coloring, decorating, and singing. Unfortunately, not more than 15% of this group at the very most will ever be able to return to normal society. This is partly the fault of society, because society is not prepared to accept them and to understand them. The purpose of these Sunday school classes is to provide a warm, friendly, accepting Christian atmosphere. The groups are kept small so that individual and personal attention may be given. The Murdoch School does not have the facilities and staff to give individual and personal attention in the daily routine. We who have been a part of this volunteer group believe that these people are the children of God and that they need a Savior just as we do. Although their concept of God is limited, they need to have satisfying spiritual experiences. They have been rejected and need to be accepted. More emphasis in our work is placed on establishing a relationship of love and acceptance than on making progress in learning and retaining facts and ideas. Retarded people cannot easily grasp abstract concepts of faith, but they do know what it means to love and to be loved. In teaching the mentally retarded, there is a constant search for better methods and better aids. Repetition and regular routine are important because constantly meeting new situations may be frustrating to these people. The teachers have to be creative and resourceful in keeping the interest of groups with a short attention span and a need to see something tangible in order to grasp a lesson. Pictures, film strips, records, and songbooks have been provided by the Murdoch School for our work and have proved quite helpful. But perhaps more than anything else, the mentally retarded need to talk and express themselves, to be heard and understood. In addition to working the classes, some seminary students have planned picnics for their groups, have attended programs at the Murdoch School in which their pupils participated, and have visited their pupils in the cottages during the week. After the Sunday school classes meet each Sunday, there is a meeting with teachers to discuss problems and to seek better methods. This whole program may be called an experiment. The teaching of the mentally retarded is an area in which relatively little study and research has been done. Our own routine and methods are constantly being changed. This work has proved to be a real learning experience for those who have been the teachers, as well as an experience for the residents that they otherwise might not have been able to receive. There is a real need for this program to expand, both in better methods and in wider scope. Only about 1/4 of the residents with a capacity to benefit from this program are able to attend classes because there are not enough teachers to take care of them. Others in the cottage ask why they can't come to Sunday school too. Let us all grow in an awareness that the mentally retarded people exist, both in and outside of these institutions, and that we can help them. They have a place within the Christian community and within God's purpose. May the Christian community respond to their need and reach out and receive them.
I've been assigned the task of discussing the work of the Extension Committee in regard to theological presuppositions, and also specifically in regard to the program at Central Prison in Raleigh. Our activity at Central Prison in Raleigh is but one expression of the horizontal demand that is produced by the vertical relationship with God. Indeed, having been justified, we therefore labor. Ideally, there are two fundamental theological presuppositions underlying all of our activities. The first is one of confession, the second, conviction. By confession, I mean that we have a testimony that we are compelled to bear, a confession that we are required to make. This compulsion is both objective and subjective. First, it is indeed the demand of God. And secondly, it is that our experience demands that out of a heart of gratitude we speak. The message we proclaim is that God has acted redemptively in history and in our lives. In Christ, God reconciled the world to himself, to express it in Pauline terminology. Through Christ and in our identification with him, we have experienced this reconciliation. Thus, we stand to tell of a Savior and a Lord, in whom and by whom God has acted to redeem all mankind. By conviction, I mean, we are convinced that this aforementioned reconciliation may be and should be appropriated by all men. To state this in Johannine terminology, Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." This, of course, is referring to the quality of life akin to the life of God that men may enter upon now at this time. The practical application also falls into two sections: corporate worship and canceling hospital visitation. Every other Sunday morning, we go to join with these men in a service of corporate worship. We do not go to preach to them. Rather, we go to worship with them. Each Saturday, we go over for canceling hospital visitation. One man receives inmates at the chapel for canceling. Two others go to the prison hospital for ward visitation. Recently, some work has been developing in the area of group therapy. A realistic evaluation of our situation does need to be given at this time. We are working with men who have been adjudged by society to be ineligible to live in society. Therefore, these men have been isolated because they are considered no longer acceptable. Many of these men feel not only the rejection of society, but also feel that they have been rejected by God. Many feel that they must reject themselves. Indeed, it is true that many of these men have jeopardized the welfare of our society. It is also true that some period of rehabilitation may be needed, in most cases, to restore a responsible attitude to the corporate community in which they live. However, it is of utmost importance to communicate to these men that though we may be forced to reject their actions, we do not reject them as persons. We go to minister to them because we are concerned for their redemption and reclamation. The overburdened need for trained workers is extremely great. The state of North Carolina has only 2 full-time chaplains for around 89 prison camps and somewhere approximately 14,000 inmates. Our work is, in a real sense, a supplement to the overworked schedules of these 2 chaplains. Often out in the road camps, the only ministry that these men will receive will be the voluntary ministry and assistance that you can give as a minister in your particular locale. The answer to meet the need is somewhat simple, but the achievement and the meeting of this need is much more difficult. The need is for more who are willing to serve both at the Central Prison in Raleigh and in their respective communities especially. Training is of great importance. Some basic understanding of sociology, psychology, criminology, and pastoral counseling would be of immense benefit. Also, the need is for work in support of creative legislation for reform, increased facilities, higher pay for officials, better training for the employers of the state who work with these men, and other various constructive measures that would contribute in a concrete manner to the rehabilitation which is intended. Albert Camus, in Resistance, Rebellion, and Death, wrote these words, which I think are applicable to our situation. I quote, "What the world expects of Christians is that Christians should speak out loud and clear, and that they should voice their condemnation in such a way that never a doubt, never the slightest doubt, could rise in the heart of the simplest man. That they should get away from abstractions and confront the blood-stained face history has taken on today. The grouping we need is a grouping of men resolved to speak out clearly and to pay up personally," end quote. Indeed, the gift of God and the demand and the need of man in our day both work together to demand that prayer, knowledge of theory, and good intentions must be buttressed by action and legislative reforms wrought in the context of personal cost and intense and energetic dedication. Let us pray. We worship Thee, our Father, because Thou art worthy of all worship, praise, and honor. Accept our thanksgivings for Thy grace and mercy which has sought us out and redeemed us. Hear our confession, our Father, for we have sinned and failed in both responsibilities and opportunities. Forgive us and strengthen us to walk in Thy way. We pray for all those in need and trouble. Send us, under the direction of Thy Holy Spirit, to minister to them in Thy holy name. Enable us to give ourselves to Thee in obedient dedication, that Thy name might be glorified upon the earth and Thy children brought into Thy church for redemption and service. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.